Welcome to New Realities. I'm Alan Steinfeld. And a popular theme for this show is this interfacing we are having now with other beings, other levels of consciousness, other perhaps planetary civilizations. I mean, I'm trying to understand what exactly is going on. And I love to talk to experiencers who've had firsthand contact. I mean, I've had firsthand contact, but I'm not as clear about my contact as other people. So that's why I'm talking to Tim Tactical. Tactical, is that how you say it?
It's Tim Tactical on YouTube and Tim Tactics on Instagram. So that's basically my nickname. So that's where it is.
And he's, of course, been well known on Gaia, but I want to go a little deeper with you. And I mean, of course, you've said a lot of this on Gaia, but we're kind of a normal, regular person. And then something happened that just popped you into this whole other interaction. Can you talk about that?
Oh, yeah, sure. So first of all, thank you for having me, Alan. It's a pleasure. So basically, the recruiting process. So let's start here. So basically, there's what we would consider like a breakaway groups, advanced groups on this planet that are outside of the public eye, and they are operating behind the scenes, so to speak. So the recruiting system for that used to be very complicated, and it took more than several years. Basically, for me, it started out, in university, being recruited or asked to do a kind of conventional job. And then you get confronted with certain evidence that show that ET realities are real. There is, of course, other life forms in the universe. There's life on different layers of the universe, and you get confronted with that without even knowing that you're tested, basically. And then the recruiting, everyone looks how you respond, how you react, how you behave, and then you basically go down the rabbit hole. So that used to be the recruiting system. And let me say this, because nowadays we have the Space Force in the US. We have a lot of different other space forces around the planet that are publicly out there, and you can Google them. They are just not in the mainstream media, but they are there. So the recruitment system has been modernized by a lot.
Let me ask you, because I never heard that part of your story, and maybe you've told it. The recruitment kind of formality is done by inside government people, or is it a connection to ET races that are recruiting you?
So basically, these advanced groups are loosely connected to the official public side of what's going on the planet. So basically, you have like a normal operational job, but you also get asked to do certain tasks, but not on your first day of in the job. So it's it takes like 4 or 5 years. It used to take 4 or 5 years in order to slowly get into more and more complicated and exotic projects.
You don't have to name names, and we don't have to go, but it's government, but are they recruiting people to be the interface between the humans and the ETs? Is that what the recruitment process is for?
Ultimately, yes. It wasn't in my case. So basically, in my case, you do a standard regular job, and you get asked to perform certain missions, tasks, operations that, they start really boring in the beginning, and this goes on for 3-4 years until you get mixed in certain evidences that is proof to the existence of other life forms. And basically the test is, how do you react? Mm-hmm. Because there's different parameters that need to be checked, that used to, basically they still need to be checked, which is your liability, your trustworthiness, but it's also your psychic or your psychological capabilities to handle certain situations.
So what was the first instance, like, you know, so they recruited you, and what was the first moment where you said, oh my God, this is about ETs? I mean, was there a moment? No.
Yeah, in the retrospective, there was this moment. And actually, like years and years later, because things evolved so gradually that you... And especially in my case, when I was so young, actually in university, you don't question things. And at that time, I'm not coming from, I just told you privately, I'm not coming from ufology. So yeah. I've never been into pop cultural, you know, whatever is out there publicly. I gotta admit that I had times where I was just convinced that everything that I dealt with is public knowledge, actually.
Was there a moment when you said, oh, this is about a much bigger picture, this is about this other reality? I just want to know, like, what happens to people like you working, and then like the revelations, like, or maybe it's not a revelation, but it's outside what we think reality is like, and maybe you were being primed for that. So I'm just curious, was there a moment of awakening?
Interesting. No, I wouldn't say so, at least not in my case. So basically, it's so gradually you get, you know, confronted with a lot of evidence. At first, it begins with, you know, just this little hint in some kind of documentary or documents you know, certain experiments where you get invited to just be and some of them are boring, some of them are more exciting. So there's no moment where you just think like, wow, what's happening? So this came later, I would say. So basically the psychological impact happens first. So sometime you are so deep in the system that you really have trouble getting out there, actually. So because you're so isolated in some kind of way, so you cannot talk to anyone, which I didn't do for 15 years. and it's hard to handle these psychological impacts that you gotta have. You have, and then you come to, you might come to the realization, what's happening, actually, what's happening with my life. In my case, I always was a strong, you know, advocate for transparency. And I still believe, and I do think, that the smart people in those advanced groups, they are smart enough to know, and we see that around the planet, that disclosure is necessary, actually. There are certain reasons for that.
Was this group, I mean, maybe you can't talk about this, was this a group that was German, because you're German, or was it an international, or maybe you just can't say? If you can't say, that's okay.
Yeah.
You can't. Okay. That's fine. But why you? Why did they, what was special, or what was, you think, what were they looking at people like you for?
You know, Alan, I've been asked this question so many times before. I feel pretty normal, actually. So I think that the reason is that the way you behave, the way you get tested along those 4 or 5 years, and if you show enough strength and, you know, trustworthiness, I always felt like it almost felt like being pushed into cold water, if that makes sense. So it doesn't, I didn't have enough briefings or debriefings or psychological, support. It was basically more or less like being pushed into something, and then, you have to deal with that.
So are you saying there's basically two types of people involved in this field, the ones that are recruited and the ones that are visited by those beings and outside of a structure, right?
Yeah, I would say so. So basically the numbers of people who are contacted are extremely high. So what we found out is that we at least talk about thousands and thousands of people that are constantly visited, and we also found out that there's no moment where some person is only visited one time. And in most cases, but I want to say there are different other cases where, you know, malevolent motivations might be a part of that, but in most cases we talk about well, the concept of incarnation is pretty much true. So a lot of you know, beings that seem human and are human right now, they might come from different pre-existing experiences, and these, you know, civilizations consider them families. They, in most cases, they take care that, you know, no one gets lost, because that's actually a huge issue with reality, that especially on this planet, in the way that it's physically shaped, that you get involved with reality, pseudo reality, too much.
Can you explain that a little more, the way it's shaped, or what do you mean?
So basically what reality is, especially a collective reality, what we experience on this planet, this is something that a collective consciousness agrees upon. And whenever you're in this, you know, this twirling of reality, this, you know, these motions of reality, and then you have this, you know, socialization and all these roles, you know, that's been given to you. People that come from outside, they have this tendency to not remember that. So basically their families take care of them. In most cases, they are being chipped. So most humans that have like a relationship to other beings are actually chipped in these, you know, contact scenarios. And those chips work like, I'm sorry?
Like chipped implants, yeah. Okay.
Yes, so they're implants. The typical places for implants are either in the back of the head or down the spine, because those implants are actually, they're biological materials. So they do not appear on, you know, X-rays. And they are powered actually by the energetical spiral system of your body. So they're like, it's your own body battery that are powering them. And they basically work like a very sophisticated smartwatch. So they send the location and space to the receiver. They also monitor your body functions and your health status.
Don't you think that you were chosen because somewhere in your genetic past there was a connection, your father, your grandfather, your mother's side, whatever? This is my feeling about my connection to the ETs, that it followed generations. So I don't know if that's true in your case. What do you think?
I don't know either, actually, Alan. So I'm well aware that I had certain, you know, weird moments when I was like a small child, like these visitation moments. But other than that, I consider myself really normal.
What's so unique about what I'm hearing from you is the process that you've gone through to suddenly realize there's ETs here on the planet interfacing with humans. So can you talk about the first time you actually met an ET face to face?
Yeah, again, as I said, like, things evolve gradually. So one of the first things was that I got invited to a certain experiment where they were actually opening up the fabric of space. So basically not the fabric of space, but it was light. So basically what we have is the situation that everything that we perceive in this solar system is actually on the outside edge of light. So we have no other chance to perceive light in the way that we perceive it right now, but you can basically open up light. And inside of light, there's a whole new dimension. So light is actually on the outside perceivable through our, you know, our eyes and lens, but it's also, you can dive into light and you can open it up. So it's basically like looking onto the surface of the ocean and then diving into it. And you got to see that there's a whole universe of different life forms in the ocean, actually.
You know, I don't quite understand what you mean by opening up light. Maybe nobody does, but so if I see a light or a light beam, you're saying there's like a universe inside that light?
Yeah, so basically light has this interesting duality where it also appears well in wave forms, but also in particles, which is, you know, this this kind of famous physical you know, parameter that comes with light. But that also means that light actually works as a dimension. So basically everything that we as humans see is only the outside surface, the particle side of everything. Naturally, we don't have an opportunity to dive into light because our bodies do not have the, you know, the receivers, the organs in order to perceive that. But there's a whole new dimension if you open up light. And this was one of the things that they were actually conducting. They were opening up the wavelength of light. And what you could see, or what I saw, is that there are certain you know, little figures that are inside of this dimension of light. And the interesting thing, because I know you know Linda, and she gave me one of her books, and one of her contactees actually had a drawing, and was the only and the first time that I ever saw these beings again. And they are actually living inside the light, whereas we as humans, or humans in general, are outside of light. We are on the edge of the material light system.
It sort of reminds me of Immanuel Kant's theories, you know, about the phenomena and the noumena. The phenomena is what we experience, and then there's underneath, there's the essence of
yes.
That.
Yeah, I think the really interesting thing to me is actually that the universe is, we all know that it's actually just focused on one point. And we have, through certain, you know, partitions or through certain borders, illusionary borders, we are building this depth, this, you know, illusionary depth between us and, you know, other realms of existence that are very, very true.
Went into the light, you went and actually journey or saw in, did you actually physically go into the light?
No. So what they did was actually they open up the wavelengths of light, which you know, is actually bringing the information that is inside of the wavelengths into the particle state so that it can be perceived through our organs. So basically what I saw, in order to make this, you know, as vividly as possible, is you're standing inside of this laboratory, and they were using this machine you know, shooting something or using some kind of impulse. And what you see is this weird kind of portal, you know, with glowing yellow outer, like this corona or something, that opens up, and it feels like you can, like a tunnel or something even. And inside of that, you have these figures that seem to be standing on their side, but they were moving and wobbling around through this, you know, particular field that we were seeing.
What did those figures look like? Were they humanoid or semi-human?
No. So it's again, Lina has this interesting painting or drawing of them in her book, and I also made a drawing. I had this wonderful moment with her when I, you know, handed her my drawing, and she looked at the book, and she was like, "Wow!" So if you want to describe them, there are. They are actually gray-skinned. This is the reason why Linda said they are the grays. But the reality is that there are, you know, lots and lots of different species out there that have gray skin. And the grays that we're talking about as grays, they're not always gray. So they exist in different other colors too. But these beings actually, they have this, you know, roundish head, very long, slender arms, grayish skin. And it seems particularly important to them because they were showing themselves with these white robes. And inside of Linda's book, they were also wearing these white robes. But in my case, they were wearing a red cross on their chest. And it seemed to be very important to them to show actually their involvement with this this Templar cross that they were showing on their chest, actually, which was kind of the reason why I got called into this experiment, because at that time I was involved with you know, certain studies about the situation of the Templars. Nothing spectacular, actually.
Did you see that because of your orientation and they projected that to you? Or was that an actual reality? Or maybe it's hard to know the difference. You know what I mean?
No. So it's a projection of a conversion of reality. So as I said, there are realms in this universe that are not perceivable through the organs and the situation and physical, physical parameters that we bring along. These dimensions still exist, but it's not possible to perceive them. So it's like a translation into seeable, perceivable light, actually. Let me bring it down to a example. So if you dive very, very deeply into the ocean, you come to a point where there's no perceivable light for humans anymore. So if you're down in total pitch darkness, you won't see anything, but still there are beings around you. So you need something to translate the information that is around you into perceivable status, which is you use, for example, an external light or something, and you just illuminate the scene underwater, and then you can see what's happening there. So basically everything that we perceive, we only perceive this on the material matter side of, light. But this is the reason why we have, you know, Einstein said, like, there's nothing faster than light. There are things faster than light, but they are outside of the perceivable spectrum and the livable spectrum of light. While we're inside of the solar system, we cannot perceive things that are outside from that. So what they did is actually opening up this space, opening up this wavelength, and then you can see that while we think this is like the end of the perceivable reality, you can actually dive into light.
Uh-huh. So are all the ETs coming from inside that light space, or just certain beings?
Oh no. So basically what we found out is that there's a certain space of commonality that where we share the same realities, but there are also layers inside of the universe, immense amounts of layers in the universe that, you know, inhabit very exotic forms of life that are so exotic and so alien that we cannot perceive them, and there's no commonality where we share the same experienceable space.
My theory and my next book is about changing our capacity to perceive. I think we're in a shift from, you know, the very superficial way of seeing to seeing more from the depth of the underlying reality. Maybe some people call that the fifth dimension. So maybe what was unperceivable before, and maybe some drugs open up people to those realms, DMT or LSD, but I think we can get there on our own cognitive awareness, because essentially, this is my theory, we're the same as those beings. They may be smarter, they may be more technologically advanced, but the essence might be the same.
So basically, we're all part of the same life form. So the universe itself is seemingly only one life form, just as much as my body seems to be one life form, and inside of my body there is multiple of other life forms that are, you know, inhabiting or living there. So what we're perceiving right now is Earth is actually like a life environment, a life sphere where we share the same commonalities and the same perceptions of reality. Planets can host certain life forms from certain levels of consciousness. So basically, this planet can host consciousness that, and again, this is a model and all models are wrong, but some are useful, right? So this planet can host life forms from level one consciousness to almost full level four consciousness. Whereas the majority of human planet used to be situated in level three consciousness, which is this Newtonian physics and this understanding of I am and everything that comes up with that. And in this version of the universe, we're actually experiencing a duality. So there seems to be something different because on your side of the reality and something different on my side of the reality. And this is like a perceivable realm that we share. So basically what happens right now is that the planet itself is moving into a zone of the universe where there's more information available. And this is like what we call the perfect harmony of four, level four consciousness. Level four consciousness is this elevated form where we go from Newtonian physics to quantum physics, where we go to the understanding that our consciousness and we ourselves are much more than just an I. We are expressions of the whole creativity of the universe, and everything that comes with that. So every guru, every yogi, every you name it, all those, you know, elevated masters that, you know, have been on this planet, they have this consciousness, this level four consciousness. And this planet is actually heading towards this zone where that becomes the new reality, actually.
Wow, that is fascinating. That's actually why I call my program New Realities, because I have a sense that we are heading towards this new reality. And it feels like it's connected to the sun. My theory of meeting other beings is that their consciousness is calibrated by their star. And so that's why we can connect with animals or things, because we're calibration. We may be more evolved, but so when we meet a being from another star system or another dimension from their vibratory field is so different. It's like trying to get Wi-Fi on a little radio. We're not programmed to pick up that receiver. So, but as you're saying, I'm also thinking of some of the a Mexican shaman I met who says we're moving into the time of the sixth sun, which is the Nahual, where things will be more energy than matter. Things will be more wave than particle. So this is, and maybe the change in ages, like the Hindus talk about the different cycles of time from Kali Yuga to Satya Yuga. So I think But what you're saying, this is so important, is that you actually see evidence of this. This is just not philosophy. You've actually seen it, which is so amazing.
And yeah, I mean, this is very smart of you. That's absolutely true. Basically what we see is the amount of information that is, you know, projected on a certain parameter of reality gets increased. So this is basically what we see. And I mean, the whole planet, if you look at the amount of information that we produce compared to 100 years ago, it's amazing. It's such an amount of information, you know, and the universe itself is growing. So what we are perceiving are more denser forms of information. And these are the new realities that we're dealing with. And as you correctly said, this version of the universe that you and I are in right now, this is a solar-based or sun-based form of reality. So everything that we perceive irradiates photons, irradiates light. It's a light-based universe. So everyone and all those beings, these exotic life forms, as we call them, aliens, every alien that, you know, shares the commonality of light, these are beings that we can communicate with and that we can connect with and that have visited this planet for thousands and thousands of years.
So you're saying, Tim, the light, which I kind of suspected, the light frequency sets the communication levels in a sense, but it's not just light, it's the caliber of the light as well that is the exchange of consciousness, right?
Yeah, so light is basically the medium, if you want to say so, through which we are communicating and perceiving reality inside of this version of the universe. And I want to clarify and say this, there are other versions of the universe that are completely different and very, very exotic to what we perceive.
What's interesting about what you said about these scientists, I think they were scientists, that are opening up the light field, there has to be a shift in their consciousness to more of a spiritual understanding if they're doing this. So talk about, you don't have to say who they are, but well, how they discover that technology and who are these, not personally, who are they, but are they in a transformation in these discoveries?
I think we need to go way back to the early 20th century in Europe, where you had this development where people understood that there's the kind of spiritual or psychic relationship between physics and reality itself. We basically have been disturbed, or humanity has been disturbed in developing this, you know, knowledge further and, you know, to world wars and all that stuff. But 100 years ago, with the beginning of, you know, Oppenheimer and all these scientists that found out about, you know, the atom level of reality. And this is even something that goes way back, this understanding goes back to ancient Greece and you know, all that. So there's a constant, you know, improving in this, you know, kind of matter. But yeah, on the personal side, I would totally say that all these scientists that I worked with, they had to go through an understanding of, you know, reality and consciousness that is more advanced or different to the typical scientist that works on, you know, at a certain university. And interestingly enough, like all the scientists that I talk to, they are like 100% convinced that the reality that we are perceiving is actually a computer model. And that's the way that they perceive reality. They are very, very convinced that everything is just a simulation. And this becomes more and more, you know, norm stream, mainstream. I want to say that there's a lot more to the universe than just understanding it as a simulation, a computer simulation.
I totally agree. When people say it's a simulation, they're missing the big picture that we're in the simulation. We're generating a simulation, if you want to call it that, but it's not really a simulation. It's a concept we have yet to come to in our civilization, cultural ways of perceiving. It's back to the ETs themselves. And you've met these extraterrestrials face to face, right? I mean, you've had, can you talk? Because I heard you tell Linda, I think it was, that the shock and the fear that goes through you. But what was the circumstances behind you meeting your first face-to-face ET encounter?
Right. So basically what they're doing is they set up a lot of containers, which, you know, in a certain underground location, you have these communication containers, which they provide a certain environment where through very strict protocols, you are able to communicate with these beings. And in my case, the majority of these events, these experiments, if you want to say so, were actually in communication with the grays, which is like what we call an exotic life form, gray skin, about, I think, 1'5" in US terms. I hope. I'm not quite sure. I should look it up. But and also like interfrequential beings. So basically, these were the two operational models that were used. And yeah, totally. So because a lot of people have told me like they wish to meet an ET being, and they were very, you know, excited about that and very euphoric, like, hey Tim, I'm ready for that. And the truth is, it's a very, very strong impact on your own psychology in order to meet something or someone like that, because the reality in that moment seems to break away for yourself, and also the frequencies. And again, I know you're aware of that, the frequencies of those beings that are so advanced and elevated, they irradiate a certain frequency. Basically, in the 90s, we found out that anything, any organic stuff, any organic body is irradiating a certain frequency, which is, well, you could imagine like the magnetic field of a being or something, but it's like its own signature, energetic signature. And when meeting these beings, at least this is true for the grays, your flight impulse is kicking in so strongly. It's like it's only about survival in that moment. You want to just run away, and the pressure on your own psyche is intense. And we know a lot of cases, and Linda talked to me about that, because she had you know, talked to certain people in the US intelligence, and they had Marines actually get in contact with certain beings, and they dropped, like they collapsed because of that intense pressure. So and we've seen that being true for certain other exotic technology too, where the presentation of certain exotic technology that challenged your point of reality so much was too much to handle for certain people.
Was it too much? I mean, this is you're talking about your experience. So, I mean, this does go along with my theory of when we meet the ETs, of my experience, their consciousness field is so different. It distorts our reality. And you're one of the only people to ever confirm it for me, but that was my feeling. It's so hard to stay lucid and aware within that field, because they emanate such a different frequency that lucid awareness is the practice, I think. But so was this your experience that you started to lose a sense of yourself? And really, I feel that's where the trauma of abduction comes from. I mean, I think my feeling.
So if I want to, so for everyone at home, it's the same thing when you have someone, you resonate very positively with them. Then you feel a very warm and good feeling, and you think like, oh, that's I don't know, nice fellow, this is a nice moment, and you feel good. But it's the same moment when you, for example, meet the grace. It's very intensified, and your body reacts to that. And no matter how often you go into these situations, you always feel that. Only thing you can do is like train your psyche to calm yourself down. I always compare that to, because I've been asked that before, I compare that to roller coasters. You know, when you there's a drop coming, and your psyche can prepare itself for that, but your body is still going to react. The way when it goes down, the body is going to feel it, and there's no way to get around that, actually. And it feels, if I want to describe that, it feels like this super intense tingling that goes around your body. It's like the most intense form of goosebumps that you can imagine, and it feels like burning. So it's not like a goosebump or something, but it feels like you want to throw up. It feels like your body is really intensively burning, and you want to just scream and run away.
This is such an important conversation. I think this is really at the heart of the ET question, of the ET experience. This is what governments can't explain. This is what the big secret is about, is that there, and I often say, if you've ever been around a crazy person, you start to pick up and feel those, or maybe a high lama, you resonate, or what you said, yes, you feel connection, because the resonance of the conscious field emanates a frequency that is so different than ours and so distorting that we go on. Most people would go unconscious. Most people would just.
Yes.
So, but then you're saying like a roller coaster. Yeah, you get used, in a sense, you can train yourself. And I think someone like Whitley Strieber is probably one of the most lucid people, because he's had so many contacts, to withstand that onslaught of a shift. But will we ever reach the place where, or was it a whole human population evolution, if we're going to meet these beings on their level? What do you think?
Oh, 100%. Yes, I don't think there's a way around it, actually. And everything that we can perceive right now in the non-stream media, in the public eye, we can see that we are getting prepared for that. The reason why I can speak out right now is because I am preparing people. And the reason why you see, different material from the Pentagon, different material on the main, news stations, this is all preparing reality to merge with what has been called the open system. An open system is where Earth is not isolated in itself anymore, but it opens up to any kind of different neighborhoods and neighbor realities around us. Yes, we definitely going to see this.
Well, talk about this, because this is something I really want to understand and actually put into my next book. There's no way around, you're saying, the shock of confrontation. You're saying there's no way the human psyche can be prepared, almost. There is a rude awakening coming. And so talk about that.
Yeah, so it depends on the specific entity that you're meeting. So basically, again, we had this meeting with interfrequential beings at a very high level. which I translated the experimental term to being six. So being six is a life form that is on a very high plane of consciousness, and it feels beautiful. It's just by the other way around compared to the grays. It feels like this warming space, you know. That's where you're coming from. That is where you are connected to. This is your real reality, you know. So, and it feels beautiful. It's just such a life-saving moment to experience this kind of love. And it's also very philosophical, which I found really interesting. So the differences are very imminent between grays, for example, and different other exotic life forms and other beings. So if you, for example, ask the same question to grays, then you might get a very hands-on, strategic, very cold answer, compared to if you talk to being six, then you get this philosophic answer that is so full of warmness and understanding, but it has no practical use in that kind of manner. So it's different compared to the entities. And the reason why I thought that the grays might be, and this is completely my own theory, because I thought about this being involved with that so many times, I thought about why is that? And the reason I think why that is because the grays actually came to an evolutionary process, a moment where they got rid of their biological bodies. So they basically decided to take their evolution into their own hands and artificially evolve from that point on. And I think, because this body is an entity in itself, so I think that the body and its own intelligence is actually picking that up and becomes frightened. And even if my psyche is not frightened and I can kind of maneuver around that, my body feels like it really wants to run away. Same as probably if you compare that to a dog, for example. You know, there's a dog that is just looking at you, and you feel this, you know, this cuteness, this, I don't know, this feeling of I want to pet it, and it's one, the best friend of humans or whatever. But there are also dogs that, you know, when they look at you and they produce a certain growl or something, and you feel frightened. It might even be the same dog from time to time. But the energy that it's irradiating, that is coming from this dog, has an impact on your body reality.
So this is so based on our previous conversation about AI, could it be? And I just thought of it as you were saying that the grays made some agreement with the AI intelligence that had fused them and, in a sense, sucked the life force out of them, the passion, all that, and became pure AI. So when you confront that, you are shocked by the lack of humanity, in a sense.
That's a very, very good guess. It's absolutely true. The grays came to a point in their evolution where they merged with the AI so much that they actually came away or broke off from the organic history. And there are actually ancestors of the grays that are still out there, and they have kept their biological nature. So and they were in. So the reason why we have this strong involvement with the grays, and we're talking about millions and millions of cases of humans that have actually seen them, experienced them, or had some kind of vision from them. So it's not like a factor low in numbers or something. It's a major thing going on. And the reason why those grays are so involved with humanity is actually because they need to gain back a certain form of their own spirituality, again, to evolve across a certain limitation that they, you know, had in their own evolution.
That's my theory, and that's what I'm really focused on is that understanding that the grays hit a dead end. They said, oh no, we can't get to God this way. We can't get to the high, if just pure intellect AI. So in our human genetics, you know, when people have heart transplants or liver transplants, in the genes themselves, there's the essence of the soul. And I think taking our genetics and abductions, and I think it's happened to me, taking sperm and all that, and creating these hybrid beings that have this incredible, maybe AI intelligence with our capacity to feel, because it's the feeling that makes us human and makes us connected to a spiritual reality, and the ultimate source, in a sense, is feeling, then they are making these hybrids that, and in Linda's idea of cattle mutilations, is that they have to incubate in these huge vats of cow's blood and soft tissue in order to make these crossbreeds of human and grays. I mean, that's my theory. Do you agree?
Yeah, I gotta say, so Linda is really big on cow mutilation, and I gotta say that in my whole time, I've never came across any case of cow mutilation myself. So I don't have information on that, but the rest you said is 100% absolutely true. The reason for that is, and we perceive that from, you know, the conversation with Being Six, for example, is that there's this trinity of body, soul, and mind, if you want. So consciousness, body consciousness, and soul consciousness. And this trinity is actually meant, which is, they are all, you know, existing on different levels of consciousness. This body has a different physical consciousness as my mind consciousness, which is basically outside of the perceivable nature of reality. And the soul consciousness is even higher. It's even outside of this realm of consciousness too. So the evolution of individuals, of entities in this universe, in order to, as you correctly said, get back to this God consciousness, or whatever you want to call it, this ultimate consciousness, right? So the mechanism this universe has for that is actually that the trinity of them need to evolve together. And this is basically the reason why the AI needs organic life, because it does not have the nature of a soul. And in order to merge with this ultimate reality that we are striving for, and we are ultimately heading into that, we need to make sure that our body and our mind and our soul is evolving cohesively.
That's why it gets back to the Hermetic philosophy. They called Hermes, if you, the thrice great, Trismegistus, the master of the body, the mind, and the spirit. It was the thrice great mastery. And this is what the ancient initiates knew about when they were going to bring those things together, the body, mind, and soul, in what's been called the ascension, when you can unify those three elements into one overarching force, you shift the vibrational frequency, and then you go beyond time and space, matter, mind, and all that. That's what I'm defining it. You actually turn the body into light. You become sixth level. I mean, you bypass all the other levels. I that's my guess.
It's an interesting fact. If you look at the sociological and the history of this planet, then you see that humans are actually been taught or have been disturbed in their evolution from of their own bodies and their mind and their souls, actually. If you look at that, then most of us think that our consciousness and our bodies are actually the same thing. Like we often are being taught to control our bodies, to get ahead of our bodies. But the reality is that the body itself is its own intelligence, and it's hosting us, and we have this cooperative friendship, or whatever, this connection. And if you take the roller coaster, and I found this particularly interesting when I going through certain theme parks, these people are actually, the bodies are producing sounds that you are on purposely, you're not possible to imitate them. So basically, like the screaming sound, these ape-like sounds that you hear from roller coasters, like you know, they don't come from your directive or something. They come from the body itself. The body itself fears. The same thing if you go and, you know, drop out of a plane in order to parachute or whatever, you will feel that the body will say no. And this is not your subconscious or something. This is the body. So you can see if you really meditate into this, then you will see that this body is an entity, a sentient being in itself. And when we are going through this shift, we are actually heading a moment where we realize that the body is indeed becoming a level 3 consciousness itself. So the body becomes aware of being an I body, if that makes sense, while our I consciousness becomes level 4 consciousness, which is, you know, this data stream of reality. Yeah, and we already are there. We already can perceive that. We find evidence for that.
We agree. The mind becomes the Buddha mind or the Christ or the, and the body becomes the sentient awareness. But then there's a fusion of the entity. But getting back to also what you're saying, the body is the animal, it's the earth. We're living inside, it's our child. So I always say, you really have to take care of your child. You wouldn't give your child poison or bad food or, you know, an awful environment or bad air. You want to nurture the child, the body, because it's the gift here, that of the vehicle to bring the higher consciousness into the union of reality, if that's how I would say it, you know?
Yes, 100% true. And I think that sociologically and historically, we find evidence that humanity has been on the wrong path in certain ways, because humans are the way we, you know, humans try to distract this, you know, reject their nature. Actually, you find that in language when we, you know, talk about animals and humans in that kind of matter. So we need to understand that the body itself is actually an entity, an intelligence. We need to, if you're talking about a child or a baby or whatever, be gentle with the body, teach it, you know, so it can come over a certain moment where it, you know, acknowledge this intelligence. And then you have like a higher intelligent, entity.
Yeah. No, I totally agree with that. But not to get too into conspiracy, but I think there could be a force that wanted us to disconnect from the body and live in the mind and disconnect from the spirit, because, I mean, I don't know why, but there's investment in a three-dimensional level where some people say the archonic frequencies can live off of our negative emotions, the fear, it feeds these other forms of life, which are...
That's true.
So...
This is one of the darkest chapters of what's going on. The reality is that this planet, so humans as a species, they have one of the highest evolutionary potentials in the universe, which means through all that humanity goes through, they have a lot of potential to develop from that. Because when you have disturbances, you need to come up with solutions. And the way that humans, compared to other species, are designed and grew into very sophisticated species, they can come up with a lot of solutions. And compared to other species, humans also have a tendency or a capability to be warlike or warrior characters, warrior archetypes, which is not true to other species in the universe, because there are realms that, you know, have understood that we are in this duality, that in reality we are the same life form. So there's no reason for conflict. But again, if you look at humans, duality and conflict is a very predominant factor in the whole civilization. So humans are actually kind of a threat to other competing entities in the universe. And what we found out in the term that, you know, in those advanced groups brought up is, I translated it to the installation. I've heard that it doesn't really, it's the same word in English. I'm still using it in German. Named it installation because it's a systematic approach in order to bring the evolution of humanity down. And it's so sophisticated. We can talk for hours and hours, and probably you will look at the whole Earth system in a very different way when you see all these different layers of manipulation and systematic approach. Yeah.
I think all that's happening now because we are shifting. It's a, like we've been talking about frequency, the Earth, the bodies, the matter is moving dimensionally, and it could be because of the frequencies of the sun or light is moving us into the new time. And you mentioned that. So I think this is like a chance for those other levels to hold on to, in a way, their survival, but it's
100%. So the thing is that this installation actually makes it really challenging to move into this new reality, because on the physical level, you can get rid of the influences, right? So all these malevolent outside sources that have been on this planet too for quite some time, and you will find evidence for that in the history, in certain cultures where they are depicted, and so on and so on. These presences can be irradiated, you know, so the physical presence. But then there's the sociological and historical factor, which is like educational. So it's deep inside of the mind of the whole system, of the whole Earth system. It begins with a form, with a way that we, have these working systems where people are, forced to sit for 8-9 hours or something, which disturbs their energy lines, and goes on with genetics and all these kind of stuff. So there's actually a lot of, parameters to this installation that needs to be solved. And something that I introduced in the first episode on Gaia and with Linda too. And in the meantime, we're doing this on Instagram at Tim Tactics. We are doing this global meditation where we have these beautiful speakers and we have thousands and thousands of people, and we manifest, we bring intention and information in this reality field that we're all sharing, because that helps us. It creates a certain probability where we can actually influence our own reality, because ultimately we are connected and we are creating this reality. So I introduced this term where I said, all shift happily now, as like a mantra or something for everyone at home who wants to do it like before bedtime or something, because this is creating a certain motion in the fabric of reality that indeed helps. It really helps.
Are you being now asked to come forward for an integration of ET realities with this shift in time space matrix?
And the reality is that right now we have a policy where people are, motivated in some kind of way to come forward with their individual experiences and their insights. Still very strict rules. So we're giving information to specific targeted audience. So basically people in the norm stream, they get different information than people like on Gaia or on your podcast or your sources, readers of your book, basically, because these people are ahead, from the norm reality that we are trying to leave.
Who's directing this? Where are these ETs or higher government? I mean, if you can say, but something is directing the show here. I mean,
yeah, something is directing the show. That's really complicated to actually elaborate that, because it's so complex. But the big power groups on this planet actually came together, and they discussed how they are going to shift the reality so that their interest is actually secured. But there are also ET civilizations that are also involved with what's going on. There are interfrequential influences, like higher frequential beings that are taking care that everything turns out very well. But then they came up with the solution that they called independent field operator status, which is basically people like me, for example, that feel this very strong inner motivation to offer something, that they are released into the public, and they still all fall under the umbrella of easy deniability, which means everyone can still reject or not reject the reality, whatever they resonate with. So people that resonate with this reality, they can take this information and integrate it and learn to integrate it, which is good. But it also means, I'm going to be very honest, it also puts the responsibility the mechanism and the way you want to, proceed that, and also the funding, it also puts that independently. So the government and certain advanced groups and whoever, they don't have additional costs and do not need to focus on what's going on.
Plausible deniability could say, oh, this is just some guy in Germany fabricating a whole story, and it's not real anyway, which protects you, I understand. And for people who can recognize the truth and say, oh my God, this really does sound like truth, then it's like, yes. It's like food, So
yeah.
I appreciate that. But are you also saying there's really some plan behind the scenes, because change is inevitable, frequency shift is inevitable, the sun is changing as a variable star, it's emanations of light, and somebody is seeing the big picture, somebody or a collective has come together and they're seeing the big picture that we need to prepare humanity. And you, Tim, you go out to the public and you say what you can't, am I making that up, or is that really going on?
I gotta say, there are countless agendas going on. So everyone who thinks like that the whole planet, that this is like a pyramid scheme where someone is from the top directing everything, that's not true. It's actually an effort to bring together certain contradicting power groups. Because the change is inevitable, so it's gonna happen. The reason why we are going to, or why people are trying to come up with plans, is actually because they want to keep the narrative in their hands. They want to make sure that their interests are preserved. But does that mean that they are cohesive, that they are following the plan to 100%? No, absolutely not. What we see is that unfortunately these groups, they have limitations and they have trust issues, which is kind of normal. The whole reality resolves around trust issues. That's what military is dealing with conflicts, intelligences are dealing with observations and mistrust. So this is their limitation. And they also have administrative limitations, which means that they have certain protocols to follow and certain bureaucracy, which they limit too. So basically the idea to come up with, let's open the conversation and let's see who comes forward and brings up some new ideas. That's actually one of those plans, but still there are other plans that are are executed right now too. The reason why I'm doing that is because it seems to be my nature actually. So it's my inherent self motivation. Yeah,
you're going up against the installation. You are in conflict with, I think that's what you mean by the matrix, whatever you want to call that. You're disturbing that, would you say? I mean,
no, I'm not disturbing that. I'm not trying to be a disturbing presence or something, but I'm trying, this is actually what I'm trained in my whole life. I'm trained in exit strategies and coming up with the solutions and tactic strategies. So this is what I'm doing and why I'm, why I invited these people to found a community on Instagram and why I'm connecting to all these, beautiful people out there, because together we can make a difference and we can build this reality to a mutual beneficial form. And within this form, all these other realities do have a place on their own too. And together we can influence the reality. Normally we need a certain amount of people, but when we have the strong communication or the strong feel of community, and we get emotionally connected to each other, then experiments have shown that like a love pair or a pair of friends, they have a lot more influence on the reality than, for example, thousands of people that are not connected to each other. And I found this community to be especially beautiful. And it's just such a joy, to connect all these different groups. And together we are giving input into the field in order to make it a better future, a better tomorrow for us all.
Well, great. Now I'm going to invite you to some conferences like Contact in the Desert. I'm going to try to get you in there next year because I think this is very valuable and it's evolutionary because you have a little piece that most researchers don't have because of your personal experience. So, and other conferences. And also I want to create a World Contact Day. I mean, it exists, but I'd love to bring a bunch of people like you and Linda to one location and call in the ships, consciously create that flow. So you're invited, we're figuring it out. Maybe it'll be in Sedona or someplace, but I think we can make that happen because thoughts are things and it's intention. If we put enough energy into being visited in a peaceful, beautiful way.
Yes.
Do you think?
Yes, 100%. The whole reality that we're perceiving is actually built upon algorithms, which are actually input fields. So every one of us who's putting input into this reality, beautiful, positive input, we create a momentum. And the momentum does not only, connect us, but it also gives momentum to anyone else who might, be in the outside or the norm world, whatever you want to call it, who might not be aware of what's happening right now, why the world is so different suddenly and things are, happening so rapidly. We can bring the right input into that and transform it.
One more question, and I really do appreciate your time, is that you said that it's inevitable, the shift. I think you said it's happening. Is there a time frame that you see where it's just going to flip? I mean, 2 years, 10 years, 20, what are you seeing?
So the reality with time frames is that we're always talking about probabilities and possibilities. So the outcome is not determined until it's reached. It's you know, the same thing that Schrödinger brought up when he said, like, something only gets integrated in your reality once you perceive it. So it's really hard to put a number to that. Still, of course, you know, governmental sides, military sides, they have to put a number to it, and there is a number. I'm not sure if I want to put it out there because
it's out there. It doesn't mean it's true, but it's
So basically, the calculations say it's 2025, which is the moment when the sun activities that are increasing right now. So everyone can Google, for example, solar flares and the increasing solar activities. Those are going to peak in 2025. So that's actually the year where you know, military generals you know, are dealing with.
Well, and who knows? I know that's only a time frame seen from this moment, but it gives us a base of possibility, and it's up to each one of us, I think, to integrate the consciousness field in this moment of evolution, you know, to go with it, to break out of the old matrix, if you want to call it, and start to think about these new realities that we've been talking about, that you're one of the few people who can express it in an intellectual and emotional and spiritual way. So I appreciate the connection, and I'd love
Thank you so much. Yes, it's absolutely necessary, because and it's beautiful, actually, because what we're doing is we are teaching each other and ourselves to be in this, you know, holistic and beautiful reality. And I'm super thankful for the opportunity to be here on this you know, video, this interview with you, and certainly many more projects.
Yes, many more. Let's talk about some more. Alan Steinfeld for New Realities, and thank you so much for watching this. For me, a kind of awakening. It's a next level for me. Well, you've confirmed a lot of my just ideas I've kept to myself, and also, you know, you've planted other seeds, and the whole AI discussion really made me see things in a different way, which is a little frightening, but whatever, it doesn't matter. It's okay. Thank you, Tim. Thanks for your time here, and I appreciate it.